One of the favorite props used in politics, especially on the right side of the political spectrum, is God. Conservatives in particular are well known for routinely appealing to God and Jesus as being on their side, or in one way or another, positively linked to their cause. The past years of Trump, MAGA, and Q have produced a steady wave of associations of God with movements and concepts that, when tested in light of Scripture, don't seem to align much, if at all, with the God of Scripture and biblical Christianity. Sometimes, and I'd say fairly often, the core concepts being advanced by MAGA types, and I should interject at this point, I voted for Trump. I'm glad I voted for Trump. I view him as a God-given Godzilla type figure in the Washington, D.C. swamp or Mordor or whatever you want to call it. And so I'm not an anti-Trump guy here at all. I've been pulling for him, still am in certain ways. But when MAGA types use the name of God like a prop to advance concepts that are, in truth, diametrically opposed to the God of Christianity as revealed in Scripture, this would seem like a big deal, a big problem, especially if Jesus really is the reigning king of creation. And that's the thing we have to decide and understand in our own minds as to how we're going to deal with these things. Now, don't confuse what I just said with our minds or our opinions making or denying Jesus his lordship. No, he is king, he is reigning now, whether we like it or not or believe it or not. But the way we understand politics and everything that flows through that realm is radically impacted, I would say completely impacted, by whether we really and truly believe Jesus is really and truly king right now over us or not. Because if he is king and he has promised to personally crush those who persist in rejecting him, including nations, and you read Psalm 2, and I really encourage you now, pause right here if you are not familiar with Psalm 2, go read Psalm 2. It's very short, very sweet, very to the point. And if you want to find America in Scripture, as so many false prophets and weirdo Christian claiming wannabe types out there, they like to talk about how America's here or there in Scripture. America's in Psalm 2. Read Psalm 2. Read Romans 1. Those would probably be the two passages in Scripture that most clearly speak to America as it exists. Now, so if we understand that Jesus, that King Jesus exists, that is who we're talking about. It's not someone we've made up in our head or we've assumed from what mom or dad or grandma, grandpa told us or our church told us. We just go to Scripture and we understand passages like Psalm 2 tell us who King Jesus is, what his position is right now. Then we would really be setting up ourselves for a nightmare scenario by refusing to repent and submit to him as king in practice, especially while using his name to advocate our pride-drenched agendas that are contrary to his word, wouldn't we? I mean, that'd be a bad place to be. So, in an effort to help us better understand the bad place that we are and the even worse place that seems right around the corner, and most importantly, to help those of us who consider ourselves patriots and those folks who are on Team Patriot, in order to help us all to have a better sense of who God really is and how he relates to cherished aspects of what I'll generally refer to as the Patriot movement, I'd like to offer up 7 attributes of King Jesus as expressed clearly in his word. Now, if any of these ideas sound like they don't conform to your understanding of who God is, I encourage you to go to Scripture to find out for yourself where you're wrong or where I'm wrong, or where both of us are wrong, because Scripture has to be our standard for understanding these things over and above our personal opinions, traditions, and preferences. Put another way, God is God on his terms, not ours. If we think we get to make God up or have him conform to the ideas we have bouncing around in our heads, our favorite concepts, then he's not really God at all. That God doesn't exist. We're making ourselves God by creating or presuming to create this God that we pay lip service to and use as a prop. So with all of that in mind, here are 7 things that every patriot should know about King Jesus. Number 1, he created and owns everything, including you, including me, including the land that we now call America or the United States, including civil government, economics, the political realm, and laws of logic. To get a sense of this, you can read a passage like Colossians 1:15-20. I recommend that one. It's really good. It's comprehensive. I would point out that in light of biblical truth on this matter, that he created, God created and owns everything. None of these things, civil government, economics, politics, logic, none of it is our creation. It is not our property to redefine as we see fit. It belongs to him. Number two, he has perfect purpose in everything. And you can see in a passage like Romans 8, 28 through 30 is a great example, one of many. Everything we're experiencing is part of his plan A. There is no plan B. Number three, his word is law. It is the law of this and every other land in his creation. This is why our disobedience always has consequences. Even when we think, when we delude ourselves into thinking that we've legitimized our rebellion by daring to call it lawful, we can't make gay marriage real or legitimate at all. It's outside of our ability. We literally can't make that happen, even though we like to imagine that we can. Number four, he does not need America at all. He needs nothing. King Jesus needs nothing. Everything and everyone in his creation needs him. Number five, where America or anyone else deviates from his word, America is wrong and will suffer consequences here on his earth because his word is the unbreakable law ruling over every square inch of it. Number six, where the Constitution or anything else deviates from his word, the Constitution is wrong. Number seven, he is the reigning king over every nation and every individual in his creation, and he commands immediate and complete submission to him as king. Psalm 2, Matthew 28, 18, read these passages, learn these passages, embrace them, accept them as truth, not props. He is not running for the office or hoping you'll choose to make him the office holder. He's not here to have you choose to make him Lord. He's declaring to you, informing you that he is your Lord, he is your king, and he's commanding your obedience. He is your king right now, whether you have, by his grace, embraced that concept or you're running from it and rejecting it. He is your king. To claim or imagine anything else is an incalculable insult to the living, reigning Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we don't want to do that, do we? I hope that these clarifications are helpful, and I encourage you to test every one of them in the perfect light of God's Word. If you appreciate this approach and agree that we need an accurate understanding of who Jesus is, if we're going to have any hope of building the better future that we all want for our children and our grandchildren, then please subscribe to this channel and connect with me at hellraiserreport.com. When we network together in a God-glorifying way, and we start building things on His terms, understanding that He is king and that he has us here to accomplish his purposes in accordance with his great commission, which affects every nation on his earth, then every good thing becomes possible.